And good evening. I will not ask you to stand just yet. We have a regular Sunday night worship song for you. But take your hymnal, though, and I'll give you a bit of a music lesson, and we're going to teach a new song. Our number is 200. Go to number 200. It's entitled Hallelujah, My Redeemer. Number 200. And I've asked Diana to play in the men's octaves, octave for the melody, and the women's octave, an octave higher. And she's going to play just the top note. Now, many folks tell me, oh, I can't tell one note from another, okay? But if you look at page 200, and it starts out there, let me ponder perfect mercy, okay? Just watch as she plays. You watch silently. I'll watch silently. And she'll play just the top notes in each of the sets of music. Treble clef, bass clef, right? And you got 1, 2, 3, 4 staffs. She's going to play just the top note through the entire song in the two octaves. Okay? Listen to this. Chorus. My praise, I sing. All right, stay seated. We're going through this. Just do the first verse together, nice and slow. Okay, here we go. Let me ponder perfect mercy, like a fountain filled with grace. My Redeemer came and found me. In his death stood in my place. Chorus. Hallelujah, my Redeemer and my King. Hallelujah, what a Savior. For his love, my praise I sing. For his love, my praise I sing. Okay, just to nail it down, you did very well. We're going to do that same verse, okay? Same verse from the top, and the starting note is this. Go.
Let me ponder perfect mercy, like a fountain filled with grace. My Redeemer came and found me. In his death stood in my place.
Good.
Hallelujah, my Redeemer and my King. Hallelujah, what a Savior. For his love, my praise I sing. For his love, my praise I sing.
Easy melody, good words. I like the word it says, in his death stood in my place. That's the substitutionary death of Jesus Christ, right? All right, let that cook in your brain. We'll sing it again some other time. Now please go to our regular hymn for tonight, 332. 332, we've sung this before. Oh, how good it is when the family of God dwells together in spirit. Let's stand together, shall we? It's got that lilting feel to it, right? Sing.
Oh, how good it is when the family of God dwells together in spirit, in faith and unity, when the bonds of peace, of acceptance and love are the fruits of his presence here among us. So with one voice we'll sing to the Lord and one heart will live out his word till the whole earth sees the Redeemer has come, for he dwells in the presence of his people. Verse 2. Oh, how good it is on this journey we share to rejoice with the happy and weep with those who mourn, for the weak find strength and the afflicted find grace when we offer the blessing of belonging. So with one voice we'll sing to the Lord, and with one heart we'll live out his word till the whole earth sees the Redeemer has come, for he dwells in his presence of his people. Oh, how good it is to embrace his command, to prefer one another, forgive as he forgives. When we love as one, we all share in the love of the Son with the Father and the Spirit. So with one voice we'll sing to the Lord, and with one heart we'll live out his word till the whole earth sees the Redeemer has come, for he dwells in the presence of his people.
Do you love to sing as much as I do? I love to sing. And what a good purpose to bring glory and worship to our great God. Thank you for being my guinea pigs tonight. Have a seat. Pastor's coming.
All right. Good evening. Good to see everyone. I think summer has arrived. Don't y'all think so? All right. If you need a prayer sheet from this past Wednesday, will you raise your hand? And Pastor Ken and Diana need one. Joyce and Richard need one. Faye, how you feeling? Feeling better? Good. All right. Still feeling a little stiff. Were you watching golf today? I am pulling for Phil.
Yes, I am.
I started to text you this afternoon to see if you were watching. Did you see that chip shot he made out of the... I taught him that. Yeah, I did. I told him that. I shot him a video. Yeah. It would take me 20 times. Have you watched any of that golf tournament this past week? They're playing down in South Carolina, Kiowa, South Carolina. Oh, you don't? I was talking to Mike a while ago, and the PGA Championship is this weekend. And they're playing down at Kiowa Island down in South Carolina, and it's right there on the ocean. And there is a canal that runs right through the middle of that golf course. And I texted Bradley yesterday. I said, man, after looking at this golf course, I'd lose 100 balls out there. He said, man, that's conservative. So, all right, let's look at our prayer sheet tonight. So glad you're here tonight. And we had a good crowd this morning, had a great time of fellowship. And this afternoon, celebrating Isaac Beatty's first birthday. And I was thrilled. I told Sean when we got home, I said, that should make us feel special that she chose to celebrate his first birthday with their church family. I mean, they could have easily just had it at home and just invited a few close friends, but they chose to have it here at the church with their church family. So that made me feel, and I hope it made y'all as well feel special and feel loved, and so very thrilled about that. Okay, I know it's warm in here. I think we're having some issues with the big unit on top here. It's running on borrowed time anyway, So I started to wear my t-shirt and Bermuda's shorts today, but I don't think that'd be very pastorly. You know, I got to wear my reverent garb, you know, my clerical robe. But I know. Well, you know, I have heard about newscasters. I've heard that they wear shorts, a lot of them will wear shorts or jeans, and they only throw the tie and the sports coat on when it's time to do the news. So maybe I ought to start doing that, you know, because I'm right back here anyway, you know. I know, that's right. Yeah, I can't do that. All right, so I'll just stick to wearing what I'm wearing then. All right, good deal. All right. Well, I do have one addition that I would like to, and it's sad. I mentioned it this morning. But one of our officials that I've worked a number of football games with over the years and have really got to know well, Art Lawrence is his name. He passed away Friday night. Passed away from COVID. Not really sure all the details. Our director of our officiating called me yesterday afternoon, and it's very unusual for Neil to call me. So when he called me in the middle of the afternoon, I thought, well, okay, something must have happened to someone or him that he need to talk to me, or maybe just out of the blue, maybe there's an assignment that he would need for me to take or something. But anyway, he called and said, I know that this is what he said. He said, I know that your people pray. And he said, I would really appreciate it if you pray for that family. So I don't know all the details yet, but Art Lawrence, Lawrence, if you would pray for that family. So let's remember them, if you will. And then Sean told me yesterday that the pastor at Faymont, is it Faymont Baptist on Cumberland Road? Is it Faymont? If you're going towards town on the right-hand side, is that Faymont? Brick building that sits off the road a little bit? Has to walk in track out back? Is that Faymont? I think it is. I think it's Faymont Baptist. But anyway, their pastor died this past week, 56 years of age, died from pancreatic cancer. So his daughter is supposed to graduate from high school this upcoming week. So I don't know the name. I've never met him. Sean showed me a picture of him yesterday to see if I recognized him. I didn't recognize him. But I'm sure that the church is very, very heartbroken. So they'll be looking for a new pastor. So let's pray for them, if you will. And then continue to pray for all of these on our prayer sheet that have cancer, that have other health issues and general needs or shut-ins. I heard from Noel a couple of weeks ago, and they're still in the process of getting into their new home. They're hoping to close on selling of their old home here. The appraiser was supposed to come out a couple of weeks ago and do all the paperwork. But the gentleman that owns all the land that we go shooting at, Doug Stevens, he runs a property appraisal company, his own company, Arsenal Appraisals. And he said that he is 3 weeks behind on everything. He said he just cannot get caught up. And he said it's just not him. He said every appraiser. He said this is the craziest. And a realtor friend of mine, she said that the average time turnaround of putting a house on the market and selling it is 1 day. 1 day. She said, just as soon as I list it, it's gone. She says it's the craziest thing she's ever seen. Yes? Hey, what now? I'm sorry, I couldn't hear you. Yeah. Really? Wow. So he wanted it that bad. Wow. So he went 5,000 above what they were asking. Yeah, I think I might ask plus on my house. You know. Yeah. So. But it's just a crazy market right now. It's just crazy. So let's. Yeah, but I'll just go out there and sleep in a camper. I know, right? Well, I have had more than one person ask me, said, hey, are you sleeping out there in that thing? I said, well, Sean gets mad at me. Yep, that's where she sticks me. That's, yeah. So anyway, let's continue to pray for our government as well and pray for our government leaders. You know, we're commanded to do so. So let's continue to do that. Our military, our missionaries, our missionary of the week this week is Justin Rachel Rhodes in London. While we're talking about that, on June the 6th, on a Sunday morning, June the 6th, everyone middle school and up will be in the sanctuary for Sunday school. We're having, he is the children's pastor at Berean Baptist. He is leaving Berean to go to a rural area on just north of St. Louis to start a church. And when I heard about it, I immediately called him and I said, hey, I said, you know, what's this I hear? And he said, yep, we're packing it up. He said, I just feel called to go to my home area and start a church. It's very heavy Lutheran. And he said there's very, very few evangelical Baptist churches such as ours that are in that area. So he is packing it up. Him and his wife and three children are packing it up, and they're heading out that way sometime in July or August. So anyway, he's going to come here, going to teach in Sunday school, and then he's going to give his presentation during the Sunday morning service. Okay, so I encourage you to be here on June the 6th, okay? All right, prayer requests. What's on your mind tonight? Anything? Glad to have Pastor Ken and Diana back. Appreciate y'all coming back home. We missed you. All right? Glad to have them back. Pray for Shelby's on her way home. So she's got a tooth issue that she's having to have looked at. She had her wisdom teeth pulled, and she's developed maybe an abscess there. So let's pray for her. That's where Sonia's at tonight. Okay. Anything else tonight that we need to pray for? Yes, ma'am. Yeah, they go to Central and South America. Yes, they do. But they have not been able, because of COVID, they have not been able to go anywhere. Let me take that back. He has been able, what he has been doing is going, is holding mission conferences that will have him. But as far as getting on the ship and going down, he has not been able to do anything because all those countries are just basically shut down, you know. Yes, sir. Yes, exactly. Okay. And that's a big thing that they could work out. Yeah. How's it working out with you and that pilot that you got hooked up with? Oh, that's the one you're talking about. Okay. All right. Okay. Wow. Nice. Okay. Right. All right. Okay. Anything else tonight that you pray for? Yes. Okay. 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 Awesome. Okay. Good. All right. Anything else tonight? Do you know anything about Desiree Morris, Joyce? Okay. Okay. All right. If you hear from her, you let me know. That way we can update the prayer sheet. There was one other one I was going to ask you about. Cindy Giacone. Okay. Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, because I remember when we first put it on the prayer sheet, it was like it's just a matter of days. you know. Okay. All right. All right. Anything else tonight? All right. Pastor Kim, will you come on up here and lead us in prayer? And I'll just leave the prayer sheet out here if you want to take a look. Okay.
It's good when people, God's people, can pray together. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we begin our prayer tonight to sort of dedicate this service to your glory and honor, we do give you worship and praise. Thank you for the singing already tonight and the great words in these songs. We thank you for a pastor that studies and presents the Word of God in a very clear manner. Thank you for the hours that he spends in preparation for both Wednesday and two or three times on Sunday. And I just thank you for that. Father, we pray that you'll be with the Lawrence family in the rather sudden loss of this man that our pastor knows through sports events, and I pray that you would just be the God of all comfort to them. I would trust and pray that if they have a church home, that their pastor will be a great comfort, and if they don't, that we might be able to reach out to them and try to be a comfort to them at this time. And Father, we do pray for the Faymont Baptist Church and, of course, the family of the pastor. We know that it's tough to go through the loss of a pastor, and again, I believe it was a sudden illness, and we pray that you'll just make up the difference there and be the God of all comfort that you are. And Father, we thank you for the blessings of the day so far, good Sunday school, great time in the Lord's house and our main service, and we just pray that you'll bless the study of your word tonight as we look at this great man Joseph and how you used him. And because he was willing to be used, and we thank you for that. I pray for all the other folks on our prayer list that you'll be with Sonia and her daughter as she's helping her tonight. And pray for Brother Richard that you'll just help this condition of the AFib type issues, that they'll just go away for good and not be a problem. And I pray that you give the doctors wisdom there as well. Father, we love you and just pray that you'll be with us as we study your word. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Pastor Ken. All right, take your Bibles if you have them, which I hope you do, and let's go to Genesis chapter 41. Genesis chapter 41. Yes, sir. Yeah. Oh, yeah. You can bring one of them great big industrial fans and stick it back there, too, if you want, if you got one. So, all right, let me, before we actually get into tonight's lesson, since some of you were in the nursery last week, or some of you were absent, or maybe you were asleep in here last Sunday. That's none of y'all, right? None of y'all asleep. Okay. Or daydream. Okay. let's kind of review for a little bit from Genesis chapter 40. We talked last week about a very interesting topic, and that is the adventure of adversity. The adventure of adversity. You know, we don't like to look at adversity as an adventure. But if we have the right kind of attitude when adversity comes into our lives, we can look at it as an adventure. And I gave you several reasons last week of how we can look at adversity as an adventure. Okay, the first one I gave you last week is adversity will make us stronger through serving those in need. Adversity will make us stronger through serving those in need. Now, if you remember in verses 1 through 3 of chapter 40, there was two other men that were in prison with Joseph, and that was the chief butler and also the baker. They had done something. We don't know what it is. We can kind of, I think we kind of came to a conclusion last week of what was it that they had done or possibly had been suspected of doing that had made Pharaoh so angry with them that he would throw them into a dungeon. So the chief butler and the chief baker had done something to anger Pharaoh. So as a result, they were imprisoned in the same prison with Joseph. Now Joseph was placed in charge of serving and caring for their needs. Now, let me mention this to you. And I probably should have mentioned this last week, but I had so much to mention last week. Did not mention this, but you know, when you serve others, you begin to forget about your own problems. When you are in times of trouble, when you are going through adversity in your own life, it is so important for you to get outside of your own issues and begin to look at the issues of others. And when you do that, the problems that you have in your life become very minimal compared to the problems that others have. You know, we can sit in self-pity. We look at our own problems, as the late great basketball coach Kay Yao, that coached North Carolina State women's basketball team, and just a wonderful Christian. In fact, she preached her own funeral. Now, she was a member of Colonial Baptist in Cary, just a very strong Christian woman, but she videotaped the plan of salvation to be played at her funeral, and she gave the gospel. And there were multitudes of people that are at her funeral. It was broadcast statewide. It was broadcast on ESPN. So whoever watched it, they have absolutely no excuse for not hearing the gospel. She gave the gospel. But she always said this. And she was a lady that battled, I think, for almost 18 years, she battled breast cancer. And she said this. She said, "When I have times of self-pity," she said, "I will sit on the edge of the pool, figuratively, and I will swish my feet in the pool of self-pity, and then I will get out, and I will move on." She was saying this, "I don't stay there. I'll put my feet in it for a few minutes, and I'll think about it, I'll mull, but then I'll get out of it, and I'll move on. I'll pursue it." Okay, so when we are in those times of adversity, those times of trouble, we can always find, and when I say always, I mean always, we can always find someone that has a need greater than our needs. So Joseph was placed in charge of serving and caring for the needs of these men. And evidently their imprisonment lasted for some time because as we look there at those verses, it says, for quite some time they were in prison. But then the need arose, and the need was simply this. They both had dreams. And Joseph noticed their concern because of their countenance. Joseph showed concern by asking why they were so sad. And then we talked, secondly, we said that adversity will make us stronger through sensing the spiritual needs of others. In verse 8, Joseph acknowledged the power of God. He said that the interpretation of dreams is up to God. It is not of my accord, it is up to God. He listened to the dream of the chief butler, and then he interpreted the dream of the chief butler. You know what most counseling is on my part? I'm sure it's been for Pastor Ken as well. Diana, she has counseled ladies over the years. It's just simply listening. There have been so many times people have asked, "Pastor, can I come talk to you, or can we meet? Because I need some counsel." Sure. So we'll sit and we'll talk and I'll listen. We'll say a word. I'll just listen. And then we're finished. I'll say, "Well, you know what you need to do, right?" "Well, yeah." "Well, then go do it." "Well, I just need it for you to listen to me." "Okay, well, let's pray together. You can go do what you need to do." Okay, that's a large part of what we can do as fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, and that is to simply listen. He interpreted the dream. And then adversity will make us stronger through humility. It'll make us stronger through humility. Joseph revealed his tender humility. He requested help, and he explained his situation. You know what it is when a person asks one, "What can I do for you?" Or, "What do you need?" Or, "How can I help?" And you reply, you know that there's a need. You know that they can help. You know that they can step in and help in some way, but you say, no, I've got it. You know what that is? It begins with a P and ends with an E and has R-I-D in between. It's called pride. And by not allowing, I learned this lesson a long time ago. When I first moved out to California, John Rasmussen, he asked me. I went out there. I was all alone. I went out there to find a house and to kind of get acclimated to Los Angeles. Here, Mr. Country Redneck from North Carolina, moving out to the big city of Los Angeles. Y'all have heard of that city, right? Los Angeles. A few million people live there. And moved out there, and Sean was here with the kids, selling our house here and packing everything up and all of that that went with it. And John came to me and said, I'm John. You haven't met me, but I'm the oldest of the Rasmussens that are working here. And how can I help you? Well, I'm good. I'm fine. No, you're not. Just tell me. I said, well, no, I can't really think. You need a car. Okay, I'll give you my car and I'll drive the church car. Okay, you need an ironing board, right? Yeah, okay, well, I'll get you an ironing board. Okay, and then as he walked away, he turned right around and looked at me and he said, look, he said, when you refuse a person's help, you are robbing that person of a blessing. People want to help. And so by you denying that person the right to help you, you are denying them a blessing. But then we talked about how adversity will make us stronger through courage. Joseph listened to the dream of the chief baker. He knew what was going to happen to the chief baker. He knew that 3 days later he was going to be executed. But he still told him the truth. And then adversity will make us stronger through disappointment. Because what happened? Well, Pharaoh holds a feast. He restores the chief butler. He hangs the chief baker. The chief butler forgot about him. And I gave you 4 applications. We must never view adversity as an obstacle. We must view it as an opportunity. The Apostle Paul used his imprisonment to write the epistles. The Apostle John viewed his time in exile on the Isle of Patmos to write the book of the Revelation of Jesus Christ. John Bunyan, while in prison, he wrote The Pilgrim's Progress. Who must never view adversity as a spiritual hindrance? Who must view adversity as an opportunity for spiritual maturity? As I mentioned last week, I said one telltale sign that you can tell that a person is a true believer is how they respond to trouble. I've known over the years many people forsake the faith because of trouble. Well, that's a pretty good indicator to me that they were never truly born again to believe to begin with. But a person that is a true believer, that is strong in their faith, that when adversity comes, when trouble comes, when they lose that job, that marriage falls apart, they have that dreaded report from the doctor, but they stay true to their faith. In fact, they not only stay true in their faith, they grow in their faith. That is a good indicator to me that they are indeed a true believer. We must never view adversity as an opportunity to be dishonest, hide our need for help. And then we must never view adversity as a hindrance in our ministry. We must view adversity to prepare our hearts for adversity. So tonight we're going to look at Joseph's rise to power. We could also entitle this as From the Prison Cell to Power in Egypt. So Joseph's rise to power, or we could also entitle it From the Prison Cell to Power in Egypt. So now let's look at chapter 41, and let's look at verses 1 through 13. So the first thing that I want to do is I just want us to look at verses 1 through 9, okay? So we see, first of all, point number 1 is simply this. The ways of God. The ways of God. God's power to strengthen and trouble men. The ways of God. God has power to strengthen, but also to trouble men. Now let's look at verses 1 through 9. It says, "Now it happened at the end of 2 full years that Pharaoh had a dream, and behold, he was standing by the Nile. And lo, from the Nile there came up 7 cows, sleek and fat, and they grazed in the marsh grass. Then behold, 7 other cows came up after them from the Nile, ugly and gaunt. And they stood by the other cows on the bank of the Nile. The ugly and gaunt cows ate up the 7 sleek and fat cows, and Pharaoh awoke." I would wake up from that kind of dream too. "He fell asleep and dreamed a second dream, or second time. And behold, 7 ears of grain came up on a single stalk, plump and good. Then behold, 7 ears, thin and scorched by the east wind, sprouted up after them. The thin ears swallowed up the 7 plump and full ears. Then Pharaoh awoke, and behold, it was a dream. Now in the morning his spirit was troubled. So he sent and called for all the magicians of Egypt and all its wise men. And Pharaoh told them his dreams, but there was no one who could interpret them. Then the chief cupbearer spoke to Pharaoh, saying, 'I would make mention today of my own defense.'" Okay, so letter A is simply this. Even though Joseph was still in prison, God was still working. Even though Joseph was still in prison, God was still working. It would appear now, I think it was now a 2-year stretch between the freedom and the execution of the butler and the baker, and Joseph still sticking or still being stuck in prison. So 2 years now. Do you think that possibly during these 2 years that Joseph is getting discouraged? I would think so. I would think that during these 2 years there is some sort of discouragement. Possibly he is beginning to think that this chief butler forgot about me, and has God forgot about me too? But God was still behind the scenes working. So now let's look at letter B, and that is that Pharaoh had 2 dreams. The dreams were troubling enough to him that they awoke him, and he called in his counselors, his magicians, is how it's said in Scripture, his counselors, the magicians, to interpret them. Now, let's look at culturally here. In Egyptian culture, dreams were considered very important. Now, if you remember, when we went through the book of Exodus some months ago, that dreams that, well, let's go back here. In the land of Egypt, it was a land of many gods, right? So they considered it that dreams was a way that their gods were speaking to them. So dreams were very important to the Egyptians. The dreams were quite simple. The first one had to do with flocks. The second one had to do with crops. And then let her see, the Lord was working in the heart of Joseph to prepare a place for Joseph. The Lord was working in the heart of Joseph to prepare a place for Joseph. So now let's look at verses 10 through 13. It says, "We had a dream on the same night, he and I. Each of us dreamed according to the interpretation of his own dream." Now he's talking about the butler. "Now a Hebrew youth was with us there, a servant of the captain of the bodyguard," talking about Potiphar. "And we related them to him, and he interpreted our dreams to us. To each one he interpreted according to his own dream. And just as he interpreted for us, so it happened. He restored me in my office, but he hanged him." So he is saying here in verse 13 that this young man, this young Hebrew man that was in prison with us, we told him our dreams, and he interpreted them accurately. because the way that they were, that we told him, the way that he interpreted them to us is exactly what came true. The butler was restored, the baker was hung. So the Lord now was working in the heart of Joseph to prepare, or the heart of Pharaoh, I'm sorry, the heart of Pharaoh to prepare a place for Joseph. There's two key points I want you to remember here. The first one is this. God had orchestrated everyone for these events. God is sovereign. There is nothing that God is not orchestrating. Every event, every circumstance is always done with one goal in mind: His glory. Now, many times from the outside looking in, when it happens, we don't see God's glory working in it. And we may not see God's glory on this side of eternity. God may be withholding why He allowed those events to come into our life, or to come into a nation's life, to come into a church's life, come into a family's life. But as we have been reading in Romans 8:28, for we know that all things work together for good to them who are called according to His purpose. God has a purpose in mind with every event that happens. So God is orchestrating everyone and everything to these events. Secondly, when it appears that we are forgotten, God has not forgotten and has not forsaken. When it appears on the outside that we are forgotten, God has not forsaken us. He has not forgot us. Now, I want us to look at Psalm chapter 139. Now, we're going to use our Bibles now for a few moments. Psalm chapter 139. In verses 7 and 8. This is a psalm of David. This is what he writes. He says, "Where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, or the place of the dead, where are you? You are there." Okay, so what is he saying here? David is saying, everywhere that I go, everywhere that I've been, everywhere that I go, you are there with me. Remember what he said in the 23rd Psalm? "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He leadeth me beside the still waters." And then you have some other references there of Isaiah 49:15-16. 1 Peter chapter 1, where it says, "I will not leave thee nor forsake thee." Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5, "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." Now let's go back to chapter 41. Let's look at verses 14 through 24. So first we saw the ways of God, and God's power to strengthen and to trouble men. Now let's look at the wisdom of God. And the wisdom of God is God's power to deliver His servant. The wisdom of God, God's power to deliver His servant. So let's look at verse 14. "Then Pharaoh sent and called for Joseph, and they hurriedly brought him out of the dungeon. When he had shaved himself and changed his clothes, he came to Pharaoh." So letter A is, God delivered Joseph from enslavement and imprisonment. Had God forgot about him? Nope. He is now, he has been working, for the last couple of years, he's been behind the scenes. Now he is becoming present in the scenes. Now he is really beginning to manifest himself in a powerful way. So God delivered Joseph from enslavement and imprisonment. Let's look at verse 15. Pharaoh said to Joseph, "I have had a dream, but no one can interpret it. And I have heard it said about you that when you hear a dream, you can interpret it." So now what has God done? God delivered Joseph to stand among the powerful. He delivered Joseph to stand among the powerful. Who is he standing before? He's standing before Pharaoh. It would be the equivalent of, you know, it's been said for decades now that the most powerful man in the world is the President of the United States. That the Oval Office is the most powerful office in the world. This would be the equivalent of it. It would be the equivalent of someone that no one knows about. But somebody in the White House has heard about this individual. And that this individual can give an unbelievable amount of guidance to the president. And the president sends word, "Bring him to the Oval so I can get guidance from this individual." Because Pharaoh was the most powerful man in the world at that time. Because Egypt was the most powerful nation in the world at that time. So here was a prisoner by the name of Joseph. It is believed at this point he is in his early 20s. And he is being delivered from prison to stand before the most powerful man in the world. And there's a third thing here that I want you to look at, verse 16. This shows the attitude of Joseph. Where it says, "Joseph then answered Pharaoh, saying, 'It is not in me. God will give Pharaoh a favorable answer.'" What does this show? God had delivered Joseph for his glory. Now, I want you to note how I have the letter H in his. It's capitalized. Talking about God. Who does he immediately give glory to? Who does he immediately say, "It is not in me to interpret your dream. It is God is the one that will interpret your dream." Because if you note here, God will give Pharaoh a favorable answer. Now that word "favorable answer" is not necessarily the right words that you want to hear, but it is the words that you need to hear. You need to hear what the two dreams say that will happen in the future. And then verses 17 through the very beginning of verse 24, let's read those. It says, "So Pharaoh spoke to Joseph, 'In my dream, behold, I was standing on the bank of the Nile, and behold, seven cows, fat and sleek, came up out of the Nile, and they grazed in the marsh grass. Lo, seven other cows came up after them, poor and very ugly and gaunt, which is I had never seen for ugliness in all the land of Egypt. And the lean and ugly cows ate up the first seven fat cows. Yet when they had devoured them, it could not be detected that they had devoured them, for they were just as ugly as before. Then I awoke. I also saw in my dream, and behold, seven ears, full and good, came up on a single stalk. And lo, seven ears, withered, thin, and scorched by the east wind, sprouted up after them. And the thin ears swallowed the seven good ears. Then I told it to the magicians, but there was no one who could explain it to me.'" So I want us to look, I want us to kind of go back now to the very beginning of verse 24, "and the thin ears swallowed up the seven good ears." So we'll stop there. So God delivered Joseph to listen to the heart of a troubled man. God delivered Joseph to listen to the heart of a troubled man. Listen, once again, God orchestrates all events. He will orchestrate you or another to be in the right place at the right time to help someone that is in need. And you need to always be open to help those that have a need. Joseph could have easily said, you know what, I don't have time for this. But no, he listened to the man that had the need. And then we see in the latter part of verse 24, God delivered Joseph to prove that the world's wisdom doesn't compare to God's wisdom. Because if you note here, it says, then I told it to the magicians, but there was no one who could explain it to me. Sounds very much like Moses. Sounds very much like the magicians when they got into the battle with Moses. Yeah, they could match Moses for a couple of the plagues, but after that, they couldn't match. Satan could only use those magicians for so long. And then God put Satan in his place, put those magicians in their places, and allowed Moses to be the one to exert the punishment upon Pharaoh and upon the land of Egypt. So here, these magicians that are idol worshipers, that worship false gods, they could do nothing to interpret the dreams. So who was it? Who was the only one that could interpret those dreams? It was God's man. It was God's man who was by the name of Joseph. I want to give you a couple of points here, three key points I want to give you. In times of suffering, God will eventually deliver us. In times of suffering, God will eventually deliver us. Remember what Job said in Job chapter 23, verse 10, where he says that my Redeemer lives, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Now that affliction may last for the rest of your life, but you will eventually be delivered from that affliction. It's not going to last for eternity. Now, I was listening to John MacArthur, and he's talking about he had knee surgery some years ago from an old football injury, and they had to go in and clean it out, and it was like an overnight stay in the hospital. He went back home the next day, and he was at home for a couple of days, and all of a sudden started having chest pain and have a shortness of breath, and he told his wife, Patricia, he said, I can't breathe. I'm just having this unbelievable chest pain. And he said it got to a point where it was so bad that he was laying on the floor in a fetal position. And it got so bad. And he jokes about it now. And he said, there was my wife just telling me, John, you just need to quit being a baby and get over it. And finally, he just said, you have got to take me to the hospital. So they called the surgeon. He said, wow, that doesn't sound good. So get him into the hospital. Come to find out, his lungs were full of clots from the surgery. And he was in the hospital, his own blood thinners, and they told him, they said, you are one day away from death. And he said, when they told me that, he said, a part of me was relieved. He said, but another part of me got disappointed. He said, well, I'm ready to meet the Lord. He said, I'm ready. I was ready. I'm ready to meet the Lord. You know, that's the way we need to look at our life. That this sinful world that we live in and this body of flesh that we have, that we are stuck with, our feet of clay, as we read in Psalm 103 this morning, that we have to put up with, that God knows that we are flesh, that we are nothing but clay, but when we die or the Lord calls us home in the rapture or whatever the case may be, that we will have our glorified body forever, that we will not have to worry about sin any longer, that we'll be free from the power and the presence of sin forever. Don't have to worry about our back hurting, our knees hurting, our headaches and being tired all the time. We can go to sleep because we just want to take a nap, not because we're tired. God delivers us to help people in their time of need. In those times of deliverance, we must always give God the glory. Then there's a third thing, and that is the will of God. The will of God gives us the power to His servant to declare the future, and God promotes His people to positions of power. Let's look at verses 25 through 32. Okay, so now Joseph said to Pharaoh, Pharaoh's dreams are one and the same. God has told to Pharaoh what he is about to do. The seven good cows are 7 years, and the seven good ears are 7 years. The dreams are one and the same. The seven lean and ugly cows that came up after them are 7 years. The seven thin ears scorched by the east wind will be 7 years of famine. It is as I have spoken to Pharaoh, God has shown to Pharaoh what he is about to do. Now let's stop there for a moment. Okay, it was the will of God for Joseph to stand before Pharaoh. God is directing his will. God is directing his sovereignty. God is directing his providence. But then the second thing, it was the will of God for Joseph to predict the future. It was the will of God for Joseph to predict the future, as we just read. Now, let's continue reading. I think I stopped where? Verse 29? Let's look at verse 30. Where it says, after them 7 years of famine will come, and all the abundance will be forgotten in the land of Egypt, and the famine will ravage the land. So the abundance will be unknown in the land because of that subsequent famine, for it will be very severe. As for the repeating of the dream to Pharaoh twice, it means that the matter is determined by God, and God will quickly bring it about. So it's the will of God for Joseph to predict the future. It was the will of God to propose a solution to the problem. And now let's look at verses 37 through 45. Oh, I'm sorry, let's go back to verse 33. Now the Pharaoh looked for a man discerning and wise and set him over the land of Egypt. Let Pharaoh take action to appoint overseers in charge of the land, and let him exact a fifth of the produce of the land of Egypt in the 7 years of abundance. Then let them gather all the food of these good years that are coming, and store up the grain for food in the cities under Pharaoh's authority, and let them guard it. Let the food become as a reserve for the land for the 7 years of famine, which will occur in the land of Egypt, so that the land will not perish during the famine. Now the proposal seemed good to Pharaoh and to all of his servants. Let's continue reading on. Then Pharaoh said to his servants, can we find a man like this in whom is a divine spirit? So Pharaoh said to Joseph, since God has informed you of all this, there is no one so discerning and wise as you are. You shall be over my house, and according to your command, all my people shall do homage. Only in the throne I will be greater than you. Pharaoh said to Joseph, see, I have set you over all the land of Egypt. Then Pharaoh took off his signet ring from his hand and put it on Joseph's hand, clothed him in garments of fine linen, and put the gold necklace around his neck, and made him ride in his second chariot. And they proclaimed before him, bow the knee, and he set him over all the land of Egypt. Moreover, Pharaoh said to Joseph, though I am Pharaoh, yet without your permission, no one shall raise his hand or foot in all the land of Egypt. Then Pharaoh named Joseph Zaphath-Paneah and gave him Asenath, the daughter of Potipharah, priest of On, as his wife, and Joseph went forth over all the land of Egypt. So it was the will of God to propose a solution to the problem, and it was the will of God to promote Joseph to become prime minister. Now, let's look at some applications. Next week, we're going to take up right there at 45 again. We're going to look at him being prime minister. Now, we have to remember this. Before I give you the applications, as we have been looking at the life of Joseph over the last several weeks, what has God been doing in the life of Joseph? He has been preparing him for this event. He is preparing him for this time as this. Now, let's look at five applications, and then we're going to look at one last passage of Scripture. Number one, Joseph was a man of courageous vision. He was a man of courageous vision. He allowed God to work. That leads to a second point. He was committed to obeying God's will. He was committed to obeying God's will. What is the safest place for a person to be in? God's will. That is the safest place for you to be. You know what parents need to pray for their children, even when they're grown up, is to have a desire to be in the center of God's will. Because that is the safest place for them. The most dangerous place for them is to go outside of God's will. But the safest place for them to be is in the center of God's will. Thirdly, his life was guided by the Spirit of God. We read in verse 38 where Pharaoh acknowledged, "Can we find a man like this in whom is a divine spirit?" So his life was guided. So that must be by us, that our life is guided by the Holy Spirit. And then fourth, God's will is always perfect. His will is always perfect. And we need to remember that. That when God directs trouble, when he directs adversity, when he directs things into our lives, that on the outside looking in, we wonder, is God's will really working? We need to remember this, that God's will is always perfect. Because God is perfect, and God will not allow anything in his character to be imperfect. And is always done for our good, but also for his glory. And then number five, let's go to James chapter 4 in the New Testament. You want to know how to be promoted by God? You know what happens many times in the life of people? They want to promote their own selves. But here we see James given the prescription of how to be promoted. Beginning with verse 6, it says, "But he gives a greater grace. Therefore, it says, God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Submit, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be miserable and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned into mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves in the presence of the Lord, and he will exalt you." So what's the last lesson of application? We must humble ourselves before the Lord and allow him to do the promoting. So we're trying to promote ourselves. It may be outside of God's will. But if we stay in the center of God's will and allow him, we humble ourselves before him and just say, "Lord, I don't know what your plans are for the future, but I am placing myself underneath your sovereignty. And I am going to follow your direction. I'm going to follow your plan. I'm going to be obedient to your way and allow you to do the promoting. Not me, but allow you to do the promoting." So humble ourselves before the Lord and allow him to do their promoting. Let's pray together, maybe. Our Father, we do thank you for these wonderful lessons that we have learned through the life of Joseph. And Father, these applications that we learned tonight, that your will is always perfect. We must be committed to obeying your will, to have our lives guided by the Holy Spirit of God, and that we must humble ourselves before you and allow you to do the promoting. And now, Father, I pray now as you dismiss us with a blessing. I do pray, Father, that all things that we do would be done decently and in order, and for your praise and your honor and your glory. In Jesus' precious name we pray, amen. Well, have a great week, and we will be back on Wednesday night, 7 o'clock.